Today on episode number 922, we're talking about everybody's favorite subject, taxes. Yeah, and I realize this is a global show, and taxes where you live may be different from taxes where I live, but I'm bringing in an expert. He's been a tax accountant his entire life, and who knows, you might actually be able to have fun podcasting and lower your taxes at the same time. Hit it, ladies.
The School of Podcasting with Dave Jackson.
Podcasting since 2005, I am your award-winning Hall of Fame podcast coach, Dave Jackson, thanking you so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, this is where I help you plan, launch, grow, and if you want to monetize your podcast, my website, schoolofpodcasting.com. If you throw a slash listener on the end of that URL, that'll save you 20% on either a monthly or yearly subscription. And of course, that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Now, I realize taxes are not really everybody's favorite subject, but I am going to also talk about some tools and some strategies to actually help you save money. So it's all kind of money related today. And when you make money with your podcast or save money not doing a podcast, I don't know about you. I like money. It tends to make my life a little less stressful. So also, this show is using Podcasting 2.0 chapters. So if for some reason you're like, yeah, I see where there are other things here, I'm just going to skip to the resources. You can do that. Now, if you don't see chapters in your app, something like, let's say, Apple Podcasts, well, you can get a new podcast app at podcasting2.org/apps. I'll have a link to that out in the show notes. But I am lucky enough to have a just absolutely kick butt group of people at the School of Podcasting. We got comedy writers, we got psychologists, we got a couple of retired pastors, we have university professors. We have a ton of really awesome people, and one of them is Ralph Estep Jr. Also, by the way, Ralph was on the podcast review show, so if you've never heard that show, you can hear myself and radio veteran Eric K. Johnson go over Ralph's show with a fine-tooth comb, and I'll put a link to that out at schoolofpodcasting.com/922, and while you can have unlimited one-on-one coaching with me, we also do group coaching. One of those is called Lunch with Dave. It's every Friday. And we were all kind of throwing out different ideas and questions. And then we got on the subject of taxes. And Ralph started doing what he does, which is sharing his knowledge of running a small business, if you're an entrepreneur, saving you money, making sure you're legal, things like that. And I thought, Ralph would be a good guy to come on because that's a subject I don't think we've ever really talked about on this particular show. So with that, here's my talk with Ralph from the Ask Ralph podcast. You can find that at AskRalphPodcast.com. All right. Well, joining me via Squadcast, one of my favorite students at the School of Podcasting, because when I see Ralph, look, as a teacher, the one thing you want is a willing student. And when Ralph shows up, I'm like, cool. We got questions coming in. They're good questions. And you can check out his show at AskRalphPodcast.com. He's been really working in finance since he was about six because his parents worked in finance. So he's just been basically living and breathing. You just love numbers, you know, your whole life. So, Ralph, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. And I always bring questions. But tonight I'm bringing answers, Dave.
Doggone it. We're switching the table. I got the questions.
And when most of the kids are playing with Legos, I was playing with 1040s and pencils and calculators. I had a lot of fun with calculators. Those adding machine tapes would go boom, 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 boom. I used to enjoy that when I was a kid.
Well, let's start off, because what we want to talk about, being that it's March in the United States, if you're not in the United States, we're going to be talking about taxes and realize that, and even if you're in the United States, different states have different taxes. So as always, Ralph is a tax consultant, but he's not your tax consultant, at least not yet. And so you always want to double check with what's going on in your area. But some of this is kind of universal, at least in theory, and then you just need to go and check on the details of that. So I guess the first thing we have to figure out is when we're talking about taxes, it's why are you doing your podcast, right?
Yeah, I think you have to start with the end in mind. And what I mean by that is if you're going into the podcast, hey, this is going to be a fun hobby, great. then keep track of things, but don't really pay that much attention to it. It's not a big deal. If you're not planning on this becoming something that you're going to monetize and look to make money on. Now, if you're planning to make money, if that's the goal of this, then I think you set it up differently. Then you start to look at, you know, do I set up an entity from the start, whether that be an LLC or an S corp? Do I start to get more, you know, regimented in my accounting practices?
Yeah. Do you start scanning and taking pictures of receipts and all that other fun-filled stuff?
Well, even if it's going to be a hobby, Dave, I think that's probably a good plan. And here's why I say that. Even if it's a hobby, if someone sends you money, if someone gives you something for doing their show or for being on your show, you're going to get potentially a 1099, especially now with these electronic payment platforms, the Venmos, the Cash Apps, all that. They issue these 1099K forms. And basically the IRS gets a copy of that and they're going to send it, you know, here, Dave Jackson, you had this fun time playing podcaster last year. Here's $900 that was sent over to you. You need to report that. Well, if you're not expecting that, number one, that's a problem. So number two, you want to make sure that you're keeping track of every little expense that goes into your podcast. Now, I say hobby because the IRS rules basically say, if this is not a for-profit motive, then it's a hobby. Well, what does that mean? That means that when you go to file your tax return, they're not going to let you drive it negative. In other words, you're not going to be able to show a loss. If it's a hobby, you can write off. So in that example, we had $900 worth of income coming in. Well, if you had $900 worth of expenses, you have net tax effect of nothing. But they're not going to let you drive it negative.
Awesome. And then is there a, I've heard, I think it's $600 that if you make over a certain amount of money, then you have to claim it? Or is there a threshold at all? Or
so technically, if you make a dollar, you're supposed to claim, unless you want to pull an Al Capone and end up in jail. That's tax evasion. That's what they put you in jail for. But from a practical standpoint, what you're talking about is the 1099 limit is $600. So if you pay someone to do services for you that's not incorporated, they're not a corporation, then technically, once you reach that $600 threshold, you're supposed to send them a 1099, i.e. the IRS now knows I paid Dave Jackson $600. So Dave Jackson better put that on his tax return. But that there really is no rule per se. If you have income, I mean, Dave, it's funny like this, but think about this. Let's say you decide to have a garage sale out in front of your house. Technically, the IRS would say you better report that income. Now, nobody on earth is going to do that because nobody's reporting it. But that's the technical answer to keep you out of tax evasion.
So just here's a fun question. Since you're a member of the School of Podcasting, can you claim that on your taxes as an expense?
Absolutely, because the argument there is, okay, so let's talk about what is routine and customary is what the IRS says are business expenses. If they would expect this to be routine and customary. Well, if I'm a member of the School of Podcasting, I'm doing that because I'm trying to perfect my trade. I'm trying to make more money, right? One of the things you talk about in your on your School of Podcasting is, you know, grow your show, plan your show, you know, perfect your show. And I apologize, I don't know exactly the things you say. And then monetize, right? So the plan is you're building this foundation, right? So those expenses are definitely deductible. Absolutely, no question about it.
Yeah, because I've actually started hiring a coach for a couple different things. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I can write this off if this is giving me skills to grow my business. And so what about, you know, can a podcaster come up with a budget? Is that the plan here so that you can figure out what you're making and then, you know, what you're spending, just track all of that?
I think you have to do a reality check. You know, I wrote a book last summer called Mastering Your Finances. And the first chapter that talks about, and this is for individuals or businesses, you have to have a budget. And what gets measured gets done. So if you're going into podcasting, whether you're going into it from the standpoint of a hobby or for profit, I think you need to start thinking about benchmarks. You know, how much are you going to allocate of your resources to use for this? So absolutely, I think it's imperative that you do a budget. Why? Number one, so you can figure out where your resources are going to go. Number two, measure how your performance is. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't know how things are going. Well, if you're not measuring it, you certainly don't know how things are going. So I think it's very important to budget.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any preferences on when it comes to tracking these things? I know I've used Fiverr has a tool for small business people. I use one called Wave that's actually free that uses makes it easy just to track income and expense. Do you have any favorite tools that you typically recommend?
Well, to be honest with you, most of my clients use QuickBooks Online. Mm-hmm. And they have about 12 different versions, starting off with what they call the simple start, which is maybe $10 a month. The thing I really like about that is it has a thing called bank feeds. And what that basically means is you can connect your credit card to do it. You can connect your bank account to it. The reason I like that is it feeds those transactions in so you're not missing anything. The truth is, Dave, depending upon the sophistication of what you want, a spreadsheet's fine too. Like, I have some clients that have manila envelopes with a month on them. If that works for you, that works for me. It doesn't really matter. The key is this. You want to prepare yourself for a potential audit.
Yeah.
If the, you know, get the knock at the door, hi, I'm Joe, I'm here from the IRS. They're going to want to see receipts. They're going to want to see what happened, who struck John, as they say, right? So how you do it, I don't really care, to be blunt, but do it. If you find a tool that works well for you, some people love Excel. I don't particularly like Excel, but you can use Excel. I have clients that use QuickBooks Online, Excel. There's Xero is another one. I did a podcast about the different platforms that are out there, but it really doesn't matter per se. It's what works best for your particular situation.
And then how long do you have to hold on to those receipts before you can kind of go, yeah, I think Uncle Sam is not going to come knocking about, you know, 1997.
So that's a complicated question. And let me answer it this way. Generally, the IRS says there's a 7-year statute of limitations. Now, here's the funny part of that answer. If you want to go back and ask for money back, they only let you go back 3 years. So there's sort of a double-edged sword to that. Now, here's the deal. Generally, it's 7 years. But if the IRS can prove that you substantially understated income or substantially overstated expenses, they can go back as far as they want. So my answer is this. At least keep 10 years worth of receipts. At the end of 10 years, if the IRS hasn't knocked at your door, if you know you don't have federal indictments against you, if they're not coming to get you, I'm one to think you're probably fine.
Okay, that's good to hear. I know we talked, we brought up the monetization word, and there are all sorts of different ways of making money. But one of the things that I know you brought up is there are other ways, especially if somebody's looking to start their podcast and maybe they want to do a video thing and they want to get a nice camera along with a nice microphone and some lights and things like that. And you brought up some other ways that podcasters might think about making money. And those are things like grants and all the crowdfunding platforms and things like that. Talk a little bit about grants. That's something I'd never thought of.
Yeah. So let's say that you're doing a local podcast and you might be able to go to the local municipality or the local town or local city and say, listen, you know, I'm thinking about doing something that's going to benefit the community. You know, would you offer me any kind of community grant to get this started? I've not personally ever done those in the podcasting space, but there's a ton of money out there, Dave, that these towns and municipalities and state governments and county governments have that they're trying to promote business. They're trying to promote tourism. So you might be able to lock into one of those. I think it's something to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing, this was my hot button this morning because somebody wanted me to be a guest on their show and it was only going to cost me $500. And I was like, so I emailed them and I said, are you disclosing this on your podcast? Because there's the FTC in the US and I forget what it's called in Canada, but I found a PDF from some Canadian folks and they basically say the same thing. That, yeah, you have to disclose that. How does that work with taxes as well?
Well, if you're receiving money for somebody, appearing on your show, then my view, that's income for you.
Yeah.
If you're paying to be on someone's show, I think that's a legitimate expense. You know, one could make the argument, hey, I want to grow the Ask Ralph podcast. Let's use this as an example. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I can go appear on other people's shows.
Yeah.
Well, kind of, Dave, it's like buying advertising space, isn't it? So in my view, that's a deduction, but it's also income to the person who is the host.
What I found out is like in this case, I'm not paying Ralph. He's not paying me. But if Ralph was, I would have to disclose that at the beginning of the show. And that's why if you ever listen on whatever Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and it's the Dr. Rob show on 6:50 a.m., and they start off with the following is a paid promotion by Dr. Rob and Associates. And then they have the Dr. Rob show because that's basically a paid promotion and that has to be disclosed if you want to stay, you know, friends of the FTC in America and whatever they call it in Canada. And I'm sure your country has some sort of thing because I know a lot of influencers, Kim Kardashian's got in trouble for just, you know, holding up a product and talking about it and not disclosing that, oh, by the way, I got this for free and I'm getting paid to talk about it and things like that. So you have to be transparent.
And I think you nailed it. I think that in all business interactions, transparency is truly the best choice.
Always. In just a few minutes, I'll be sharing some tools and strategies I've used, even if you're not podcasting, to save some money. Adam Curry, the co-inventor of podcasting, was on Decentralized TV, and the host said this.
I feel like if I'm a podcaster or a listener, I want some clear, simple instructions to follow.
And Adam said this.
I got to interrupt. I got you now. I should have promoted the place to go. There's one guy who's taught more people how to podcast than anybody I know. That's Dave Jackson, School of Podcasting. So schoolofpodcasting.com. And Dave Jackson can take you from zero all the way through value for value. He's done it all. He knows it all. The guy is amazing.
Check out Adam's show at noagendashow.com. And remember, you can join worry-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee and use the coupon code LISTENER when you go to schoolofpodcasting.com. If you don't believe me, believe the co-inventor of podcasting. ProfitFromYourPodcast.com is where you can find my book, Profit From Your Podcast, Turn Your Listeners Into a Livelihood, now available as an audiobook at ProfitFromYourPodcast.com. How does a podcaster, when you hear the word financial planning, right? Everybody always talks about that. I need to hire a financial planner and things like that. How does that tie in with a podcast?
So let's say, for example, this podcast becomes a true moneymaker for you. I'll use you as an example, right? Your school of podcasting is your, I don't know that your main job, but let's just say it's a job, right? Well, if you want to put away for retirement in that, there are options for you. And you can set up a 401k plan for your quote, podcast business or a SEP IRA or others, if you're not covered by something in your main job. So I think that financial planning is a very important part of side gigs in general. You know, if you're able to make extra money and you can put some of that money away for another day, you know, some sort of rainy day fund, I think a lot of people miss that in the gig economy. They don't think about, you know, because the gig economy, you can make $20,000 or $30,000 a year in extra income. Well, if you've got an opportunity, if you structure it correctly to put that away and not pay tax on that in the current year, then I think it's a great idea to do that. So I think that's the financial planning part of that.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, when they get extra money, they suddenly also find extra ways to spend that stuff. And that's the problem, is then you find yourself later with no retirement plan and you're going, oh yeah, maybe I shouldn't have bought that, boat or whatever.
Yeah, and that comes down to a decision. I talk about this on my podcast all the time. It comes down to a decision of needs versus wants. We all want a lot of stuff. You know, I would love to have some cool stuff, right? You too, Dave. But the truth of the matter is when we take it back a step and say, what do I really need? That's a whole different discussion than the wants. You know, and that's why we started. I said, you know, what is your goal in the podcast? If your goal is for it to be a hobby, then you could have the opinion of, okay, cool. For every dollar I make net profit, I'm going to buy more cool gear. That sounds great because that's your goal. Your goal is this. This isn't going to be a moneymaker. This isn't going to be a second income generation for you. But if your goal is about making money, then you got to start looking at benchmarks. You know, look at a profit and loss statement every month. Is your podcast making money? If, you know, one of the funniest things I found in my business, and not just about podcasting, I have some clients that go into business for themselves. And they'll come into me after the first year and I'll say, oh, Ralph, I had a really rough year. I made $20,000 net profit. I said, okay, well, that's not terrible for a first year in business. I said, but how many hours did you put in? They said about 4,000 hours. I said, so you make $5 an hour. Was it worth it?
Yeah.
No, but seriously, but think about that, because a lot of people, you can get stuck on stupid, as I call it. And it's a passion thing. It's emotions. And sometimes with finance, you got to separate your passion and emotions. And that's the reality check. You know, if you're doing this podcast with the goal of making money, then you got to have a reality check and say, am I actually making money? Is this growing to the point where monetization makes any sense? Or am I just continuing to throw hard-earned money that I'm earning somewhere else after this podcast? And I'm not trying to discourage people by any stretch, but have a reality check.
Yeah, that's, I use the, there's a free website, Toggle, it's T-O-G-G-L. And from time to time, will just record everything I do in terms of time, just to see how much time am I spending on this? How much time am I spending on that? So that's when I realized that I was spending a huge amount of time trying to get people to hire me as a consultant. And that's when I was like, well, this is stupid. This is my, quote, big ticket item. But by the time I spent 10 hours getting somebody to hire me for an hour, I was like, I'm making minimum wage. So that was the end of that. For, I still do consulting. I just don't chase people. If you want me for a consultant, come on down. But I'm not going to go answer 5 free questions for you and, you know, do a meet and greet and all that other fun stuff. So,
yeah, and I'm a graduate of the Dale Carnegie training system. And one of the things we talked about there is in any business, track your time. Look, I've been in accounting practice forever, but I still keep track of every minute of my day. You know, I spent 30 minutes working on my podcast. I spent an hour working on such and such as bookkeeping. I think everybody could do that, because then you can look back with objectiveness and say, okay, look, I'm putting 30 hours in a week on my podcast. It's not making me any money.
Yeah.
Does this make sense to do this? Now, that's hard. That's hard work, because you have to admit to yourself, this is not going as I expected.
Yeah. Or if you track your whole day, like I know for a while, I would have my phone go off every hour. Then I would just write down what I was doing. And that's where you find out that, wow, I'm spending a lot of time watching, you know, Seinfeld reruns. And yet I don't have enough time to promote my show. I'm like, well, if you quit watching Seinfeld reruns, and granted, you got to save some time to give your brain a break. But sometimes we have a lot more free time than we think we do.
But I will challenge you on this, and this is where I think there's value there. If you use that as an opportunity to see what other people are doing to grow their podcast or grow their business, and that's the way I look at it. If I'm going to invest 30 minutes in Facebook or 30 minutes on YouTube Shorts, I'm going to see, what are people doing? Like, what can I do to make that mark the same? So it's not a total loss, right. But I agree with you. It's real easy to get lost in that stuff.
Yeah. The last thing we should probably talk about, we talked about, you know, it might be a hobby, it might not be. But what if all of a sudden it actually starts to make a little bit of money? What are the benefits? We always hear people talk about forming an LLC. So when should I do that? And then what are the benefits?
Okay, so I'm going to go back to the beginning again. What is your plan at the beginning? If your plan at the beginning is this is going to be a money-making operation, then I say meet with somebody like myself from the beginning. Create that LLC or subchapter S corporation. You know, I said this in a podcast I recorded to distribute today. It's okay to spend money if you're going to save money. It makes sense to hire people that understand things that you'd understand. Listen, if I didn't know anything about podcasting, I would hire Dave. Dave's going to teach me about podcasting. If you don't know anything about accounting and taxes, hire me. Yeah, maybe you'll pay a consultation fee. But if I can save you thousands of dollars, if I can help you to protect your liability, and I'm not an attorney, so I'm not going to give legal advice. But one of the benefits to setting up an LLC or an S-Corp is it segregates you and the business. They're two separate, distinct entities. So that's thing number one that's great. Thing number two is there are beneficial tax structures by creating artificial entities like an S-Corp. Here's a real simple example. Let's say that your podcast made you $100,000 last year. Net profit. That's fantastic, right?
It's amazing.
Well, that's fantastic. But here's the deal. If you don't structure that well, then guess what you're going to have? You're going to pay federal tax on that. You're going to pay state tax on that, depending upon where you live. And you're going to pay this little sneaky thing called self-employment tax. Mm-hmm. That's a Social Security and Medicare. And guess what? When you work for somebody else, you pay half, they pay half. But when you work for yourself, that $100,000 you just made, that's 15.8% additional tax.
Ouch.
That's $15,800. Well, what if I told you by creating an S corporation or a potentially two-member LLC, I can cut that number in half?
Yeah.
That's huge.
That pays for that hour of consulting real quick.
Exactly. But see, people are so adverse to spending money that they don't think about, you know, you have to spend money to make money. That's a truism. You get what you pay for. If you're going to go out to Google and search, let me figure out the best ways to save on my taxes, you're going to get about what you put into it. Nothing.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, yeah, I think it makes sense to enlist a team of people. And I'll take this outside the podcasting realm. Let's say I have a client that comes in, they're going to start a plumbing operation. They sit down with me. I show them how to create this in the right way. I say to them, it's all about building a foundation. You know, have a good attorney, have a good accountant, have a good insurance people. For example, we talked about this on the School of Ask the Podcast show a few weeks ago. How many people think about insurance for their podcast? Yeah. That's huge. I mean, maybe it's expensive, but what's it worth to lose everything you have? Right. What's it worth to put all of your effort into your daytime job and then you do this podcast on the side that's starting to make you money and someone sues you for libel or someone sues you for using an unlicensed piece of music or something like that. So, Dave, the answer to your question, big picture, is understand where you're trying to go. And if you're trying to make this a professional thing, then set it up like a professional thing from the beginning. It's not going to cost you a mint to do it. I work with clients all over the world. Zoom has opened up the doors that if you want to get in touch with me, we can get in front of a Zoom camera and I can show you how to save thousands of dollars if that's what you're looking to do.
That's it. And you can do that at AskRalphPodcast.com. Click on the store and schedule your time with Ralph. He definitely knows what he's talking about. And
allow me to interject one more thing.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
A couple of days or maybe a week or so ago during one of our calls for the school podcasting, someone used the term, well, what if somebody wants to donate money to me? Mm. And I just want to bring this up because I think a lot of people get lost in what that really looks like. And Dave, if this isn't something you want to talk about, I totally understand. But I think it's a valuable thing. There, if you are collecting donations and you're expecting that the person giving you that donation is going to take a tax deduction for that, then you need to set up a nonprofit. So be very careful what words you use. So if you've got a podcast page and you're saying, hey, I would really like donations, be careful using that word. Now, you can use the word sponsor. You can use the word send me a cup of coffee. You can use the word, you know, send me some, the Shitigos or something we talked about that day?
Satoshis.
Satoshis, whatever it is. I'm sorry. I'm not cool with that. Right. But if you're going to use the word donation, be careful.
Yeah.
Because the IRS is on the lookout for that. And if you don't have what's called a 501c3, then you can get yourself into a world of trouble because people might be taking the impression that, oh, Ralph's got this podcast. You know, he's a Christian guy. He's got this Christian podcast and he's always asking us to support his show. And when I go there, it says make a donation. Well, what's the expectation? The expectation is that's tax deductible. Now, I will be honest with you. The person making that donation has a responsibility to check and see, is that truly a donation? But anyway, I just think that's something that people need to understand is there's no such thing as a donation. I have so many clients who say, well, I gave the GoFundMe. What they don't realize is GoFundMe is not tax deductible.
What if I call them awesome supporters?
I think awesome supporters is fine.
Okay.
I'm one of your awesome supporters.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
But I just think that a lot of people can get, you have to be careful with the word you use.
Yeah. Are there any other things in terms of deductions that podcasters might be, like they didn't know I could deduct that?
I think there's a great deal of things. And I think you have to look at it from the standpoint of, is this expense related to my podcast? Dues and subscriptions. You know, if you belong to Libsyn, for example, you pay a monthly fee for that. I use Auphonic to refine my podcast. I pay a fee for that. That's deductible. Any equipment that I buy. Hey, let me tell you this one. Maybe your internet service is deductible because you have to use it. You and I are having a communication through the internet right now. So guess what? That's a reasonable cost of doing business. How about your cell phone? You know, do you talk to people on your cell phone about your business? Insurance, you know, utility expense. You know, if you've got a particular part of your office or your home that's used exclusively, I'll be careful what I say here, the IRS is exclusively used for business, then you might be entitled to a home office deduction. So, you know, I always say this, since I grew up in this, I started doing taxes when I was 6 years old. If you can convince your grandmother that it's a legitimate tax deduction, then I think it's fair to put it on the return because nobody lies to grandma, right? Right, Dave?
You shouldn't, you know, Doug.
Well, okay, fair enough. We live in a different time, but let's just say when I was a kid, you know, she beat the tar out of you if you lied to grandma. But anyway, so as long as you can make some justification to where this is, here's another one. How about travel?
Yeah.
You know, if you go to PodFest or if you go to one of these places that has, you know, these podcast conventions, for example, absolutely. Your airfare there, your meals and entertainment while you're there. You know, maybe you have temporary internet service. You know, all those things are transportation, travel. You know, really the sky's the limit. And I always tell people this. If you're going to do it, use a business credit card, use a business check, use a business account from the start. That way, at some point, maybe you sit down with somebody like me and would say, you know what, Dave, you're pushing it. That trip to Hawaii was a bit much, my friend. But if you don't take that deduction from the front end, I'm never going to know about
right.
it. So I think that you just have to be reasonable. You know, we used the word transparent a little while ago. Be transparent. Be reasonable. If you can prove it to your grandmother, then that IRS agent is probably going to be pretty easy to prove. But you got to have receipts. A lot of people think, well, I'll just give them my bank statement. That doesn't work. Or I'll just give them my credit card statement. Guess what? That doesn't work. Oh, I pay for everything on PayPal. I'm just going to show them my PayPal statement. That doesn't work. They want receipt evidence. They want you to give, because here's the deal. Let's say you go to Staples, right? I think Staples is still around. I do everything through Amazon yeah. or one of the online sites. But you go to Staples today, how does the IRS know that that's a business expense when you went yesterday to buy coffee for your home?
Right.
So that's why they want to see that receipt. I know I've went down into weeds, so I apologize, but this is what I do.
No, now, well, that brings up a question. So I will get, in some cases, I can go in and get a PDF of a receipt, but in some cases, and it kind of drives me nuts, the only kind of receipt I'm going to get is an email that says, you paid such and such $15 for the month. And so I will print that into a PDF and store that as a receipt. Does that count as a receipt, or do I need an actual like PDF from the company?
No, absolutely. I think that's fine. Because I think you would have two pieces to that thing. In other words, you'd have an email that says, hey, you did business for $15 with this person. And you'd also have the you'd also have the checking account that it came out of, or the credit card that it came out. Absolutely. You know, the thing is, what you don't want to have is little handwritten notes that say, you know, I was in Miami for the Pod Festival, and I paid this guy $500 to shine my shoes before I went on to speak at the Podcaster Hall of Fame. And, you know, the IRS says to you, oh, that's really cool, Mr. Jackson. But first of all, I don't know if you pay somebody $500 to shine your shoes, number one. And number two, I don't really think, you know, on the outside of a hoagie wrapper is a receipt. So if you got an email and you could prove it, I think you're fine, Dave. But have something. Like, you would be shocked how many clients come into me after they've got that letter from the IRS that says, you know, hey, Mr. Jones, you've been selected for the audit lottery, so now you need to prove your expenses. And they say to me, I don't have any receipts. Yeah. I didn't realize I needed receipts. So, yeah, I mean, I tell clients all the time is have the receipt evidence. I hope you never use it. I hope you never need it.
Absolutely. Well, if you need more information, check out his podcast. You can find it at AskRalphPodcast.com. He provides great information for both individuals and for businesses. And if you want to hire Ralph, you can do that there as well. AskRalphPodcast.com. Just click on the store button. Hey, this is Future Dave. And if you decide to hire Ralph over at AskRalphPodcast.com, Ralph was nice enough to make a coupon code. Use SOP50 when you check out to save on your consultation. And he'll be happy to help you out. As he mentioned, he's on Zoom, so he can help you out wherever you are. So, Ralph, thanks so much for your time, buddy.
Oh, you're welcome, Dave. And I encourage every podcaster to, you know, take it seriously. You know, it can be a great thing for you, but just do it right. Set the right foundation and set yourself up for success from the beginning.
The School of Podcasting. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I thought I would share some tools I have used in the early days, much like Ralph talked about. I used an Excel sheet because I taught Microsoft Excel for decades. Then I moved to FreshBooks, and at that time, I had the School of Podcasting, but I was also doing consulting, and I hate programs that charge you by the number of clients. I was like, what? So that was the end of FreshBooks. I moved to what is now Fiverr Workspace. It used to be called AndCo, and this was a great product. There's a lot of stuff in it that I never used, like proposals and contracts and things like that. I was just basically doing consulting, and I would, you know, have somebody schedule it. It worked great. And then this is why I'm not a fan of Seasons. One of the features that they have is it will pull your expenses, and we'll talk about expenses and bank accounts here in a second, into the tool. So I just went in, and it even got smart enough to where it'd be like, oh, that's from Libsyn. That's, you know, categorized as this and this and that. So it was really cool. And then it just quit working. Like, I could log in, but I had to start manually tracking all my expenses. And I was like, hey, guys, like, this is broken. They're like, yeah, we are aware. We're working on it. And then another month went by, and I was like, hey, like, you know, I'm paying you $18 a month. Like, are you going to like work anytime soon? Yeah. You know, so after 3 months, I said, hey, last chance, because I am starting to look at other things and I really liked their tool. It had a built-in timer, and I have a few podcasts that I edit for, and I edit by the minute. I do not charge you X amount of money per episode. If you hand me a crappy piece of audio that takes longer, I'm going to get paid more to edit that. But if you listen to my advice and you give me a decent set of audio, I will edit that out, and it costs you, in some cases, less than $20. And so I really liked that tool. And yeah, they didn't fix it. And I ended up moving to a free tool. Now, if you're new to the show, I'm not a big fan of free stuff because it's a horrible business model. But I went to Wave is the name of it, waveapps.com. I'll have links to all this stuff. And it's free. Now, they do have a pro plan if you want to look more polished and save more time and conquer your cash flow. You know, you can you get a discount on accepting payments. Wait, hold on a second. Yeah, that's right. It's Future Dave again. I just stopped and I found out that the free tool I was using, yeah, as I said, free is not a business plan. And in January, they announced that they are adding more charges. Like, I didn't realize I was paying 60 cents per transaction, all sorts of other things. And so I'm about 75% sure, even though they had a service that kind of broke there for a while, I might be going back to Fiverr Workspace. One of the things I loved about them is if somebody sent me, let's say my Captivate bill came in and I've got their attached PDF, I could just forward that to a certain email address. It would go into my Workspace account. I could go in and say, this is an expense. So I might actually be moving back. I'm contacting them because I also see on the Wave one that unless you're paying for them, they don't auto import. So, and they're almost apples to oranges. Fiverr's Workspace is, I think, $2 more, but they don't charge per transaction. They just have the typical 2.9 credit card thing. So that's always fun. So those are two tools that I use. And of course, there's QuickBooks. Ralph mentioned QuickBooks. As I look at their website, it's $30 a month and they have a bunch of stuff. Like, I don't need payroll. It's just me. This is a simple strategy. I cut back all my streaming services to one. Like right now, I'm on Netflix. And when I really have to struggle to find something to watch, I will cancel Netflix and I will go to Hulu. And then I will cancel Hulu and go to HBO. This way, I am not wasting my time paying for stuff that I may be watching one show. And this is one easy way to pay for your media hosting by not giving streaming services an extra $50 a month. Originally, I thought I would have fear of missing out, but aside from the Super Bowl, rarely do I go to some place where everybody's talking about that thing that was on last night. So it's saving me money, and I'm not wasting my time going, is there anything on this? I don't want to watch that again. Now, this next part kind of doesn't really apply to podcasting, but it does. But you can do this in your personal life. To make a long story short, I had one bank with three bank accounts, personal checking, personal savings, and then the School of Podcasting. And it made it very easy to transfer money from one to the other. But also, you had to always make sure that you're not paying for personal things. It made things, you had to pay attention. So about probably a year ago, because I was watching a commercial and I looked at them before, I opened up a SoFi account, and that's a bank here, and they have all sorts of fun little services for your money. So I set up a School of Podcasting checking account, which I never use, a School of Podcasting savings account where I throw in any extra money. And then I hate credit cards. This is a guy that's been through bankruptcy, but I set up a School of Podcasting credit card, which I then pay all my bills through and religiously pay off at the end of the month. And what I didn't realize is I was earning points on that, and those points can be used for money. And I thought they were kidding, but after a year, I got close to, well, let's just say it was a mid three figure payout. And I was like, well, surely they don't mean that much money. And I clicked the button and checked my account, and there it was. So what it does, what this did for me, is if you want to have like a rainy day account for anything, personal or business, set up a separate bank so that it's just out of sight, out of mind. And I am pretty happy with the way I'm saving money over there. They also have a tool called Roundup where I can say, let's say I buy something for $1.90, it will take the extra 10 cents and put it into a savings account. There is another tool that's not business related. It's meant for more rainy day saving, investing, checking kind of thing called Acorns. And I just started using it because that's its whole little jam. Now that's $3 a month, but they have checking accounts that earn interest where my current bank, there's no fees. So I'm paying $3 for Acorns, but my current bank, it's free, but I'm not earning any interest. And I was like, I'll have to do some math on that. And I am a fan of, well, let's see what happens. I get a little nervous around money. I don't know about you, but I like my money and I like to keep it. But I'm really happy with the SoFi thing. And just, I don't know that it's so much the bank as I separated the two. Same thing when I first started the School of Podcasting, I used a great plugin to have your courses and such on WordPress. So when I made something on my website, I had to go, wait, is this for the public or is this for the people that paid? And then I had a drip thing where it would drip out courses and things like that. Long story short, again, I separated my courses. I'm now using a thing called Zendler. I might be moving that to Heartbeat, but that's a whole other discussion. But the bottom line is my website is my website. Everything there is public. And my courses are all over there. And I realize as much as we all want to Kajabi everything and have everything in one place, you know, I have found in my travels that when you get one of those, it does everything for you. Meh. It does everything meh for you. Like there's one thing it does and the rest is kind of like, it's not bad. I mean, Zendler kind of does that. And I just use it for courses. So the thing I wanted to pass along is if you're trying to save money, then create a bank account that you can't see and just have some money put into that. And so for me, I like SoFi and I just started playing with Acorns. Links will be in the show description. And I believe they have some sort of referral program where I get a free squirrel t-shirt or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And since we're talking about finances and business and disclosures, this is from a video from the FTC. That is the U.S. government agency that makes sure that the consumer doesn't get screwed, for lack of a better phrase. And so for all you people who want to charge your guests, here is some information from the FTC. And I'll put a link also to, I forget the agency from Canada, but in the most part, you just got to let people know if you're getting paid or benefiting in any way.
So if a brand pays you or gives you free stuff or discounts, tell people about that relationship when you promote anything from that brand. Make sure people will see and understand that disclosure. Tell people about your brand relationship along with your endorsement. Not in your profile, not in a bunch of hashtags. Put it early in the message or superimposed prominently on the picture. In a live stream, it should be repeated often enough that people will catch it. Make it plain and simple. You can say your post is an ad, advertisement, or sponsored with or without a hashtag. You can say thank you to the brand for the free product, if a product is all you got. Or you could label yourself a partner or ambassador. Again, make sure to put your disclosure where people can't miss it. Want to know more about how you can be an influencer and stay on the right side of the law? Go to ftc.gov/influencers.
And I'll have a link to that video and that site in the show notes, schoolofpodcasting.com/922. I couldn't let this episode go by. The big news this week was Apple now has Transcript. If you update to their latest iOS 17.4, and this is pretty neat. If you actually look at it, it looks like lyrics on Spotify or lyrics on Apple Music. You kind of watch the words light up as they go along. Now that is a transcript they made. And if you do nothing, they will use that, and all your Apple people will be happy. But there are other apps like TrueFans. TrueFans is a web app, and it does like everything. It doesn't do my favorite, which is smart playlists. But it's coming up the list of favorite apps. Another one is Podcast Guru. I really like Podcast Guru. Both those they work on any phone and they have a web interface. That's pretty cool. Fountain, Podverse, these are other ones. You can find these if you go to podcasting2.org/apps. So there are other apps, and that's why if you're using something like Cast Magic, you can upload an SRT file or a VTT file. And those, if you look at those, they're just gibberish. And but if you put them into an app, these apps use all that information, and that's how it displays the text on a field. Now, if you are using PodPage, PodPage may see that in the code and import some of that gibberish as the transcript, where you would have to copy and paste over that to make it readable for people. But just know that there are other apps that are doing this. And the great thing about these other apps like Podcast Guru, which right now I like, there's a new app because I was trying to find one for Android. And I really like the app Podurama. However, it doesn't do hardly any podcasting 2.0 stuff. It does everything else I want it to, but all the streaming Satoshi things that Ralph mentioned doesn't do that. And I want an app that's going to be ready for the future. And Podcast Guru does. It doesn't do the smart playlist thing, but they're working on it. And if that smart playlist comes out and it's good, that's going to be the app for me to recommend, because that, in that point, it'll pretty much do everything. But I wanted to give you, from a tech support, I've heard this, that let's say you publish your episode and it shows up. You go to your phone, you go to Apple Podcasts, click play, and there's no transcript. Realize Apple is making the transcript. So it may take up to 24 hours. So if your episode's there and you're like, I don't see anything, that's what's going on. Now, if you want to upload your own transcript, you can do that. And this is why I always say maintain control of your show in Apple Podcasts. You can log into Podcasts with an S, podcastconnect.apple.com, click on your show and go to availability and say, hey, display Apple's transcript or the one that I upload. And so if you do that, if you've uploaded one, it will use that. If you haven't uploaded one, it will use Apple's. And in theory, if you've uploaded it, it should be available immediately. And so again, there are different media hosts that are doing that already. I know Blueberry, Buzzsprout, Captivate, and Libsyn just added it this week. Also with Libsyn, if you're not familiar with me, I am the head of podcaster education at Libsyn.com. Use the coupon code SOPFREE to get a free month. But when you upload a file now to get your quick links, it's in the drop-down list in the upper left-hand corner. We updated our interface that a little bit, which will be a little more, it's a little more user-friendly that way. So I just wanted to, that's the new big thing about transcripts. They are very pretty in Apple. I looked at mine this morning and I was like, that's kind of cool. And this may be one of those things that we all kind of go, well, I'm not deaf, so like big deal. But we may find that there are other people that just, put it this way. If you're listening to the Ozzy Osbourne podcast, it kind of helps sometimes to have some closed captioning going on to figure out exactly what the heck is Ozzy saying. Where am I going to be? Well, May 5th through the 7th, I'm going to be attending Content Entrepreneur Expo in Cleveland. Hello, Cleveland, Ohio. I'm just attending that one. So if you want to hang out, grab lunch, that'd be great fun. Then in August 19th through the 22nd in Washington, D.C., I will be at Podcast Movement. Find me at the Libsyn booth. For more information, go to schoolofpodcasting.com/where and see my schedule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm always experimenting and I got some new stuff. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/giveaway, I'm giving away 30 minutes of one-on-one consulting. That's because I'm playing with a tool called Gleam. Also, I've made a kind of evergreen survey. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/thoughts, this works really well on a phone, by the way. I am playing with this tool and it'll also be in the show notes. And it's just asking for your opinion on this episode. So this is episode number 922 of the School of Podcasting. And then I'm working on some deep dives into YouTube podcasts. This is where you upload your file to YouTube, or in this case, upload an audio file to YouTube. Because I was kind of like, oh, look at that. I had one that's got like five figure views. And then I looked at how far people listen. So I'm digging in to that And if you want to be connected with the show, it's free. You can go to schoolofpodcasting.com/follow, and the minute an episode is available, well, it'll come right down to your phone. Thanks so much for listening. If you'd like to start your podcast, grow your podcast, or monetize, come visit me. It's schoolofpodcasting.com/listener. We'll save you on either a monthly or yearly subscription. And again, that comes worry-free with a 30-day money-back guarantee. If after 29 days you're like, Dave, don't think this is for me, I will give you your money back. Check it out again, schoolofpodcasting.com/listener. And until next week, take care. God bless. Class is dismissed. I'm starting to look at other things. Other things? What was that? Wow. Suddenly I'm 13 again. Wait, hold on. No, it's okay. I've said it before. Free plans are horrible. And this is like exhibit K at this point of businesses that can't really survive when you don't charge your customer. Shocking.